Yeah. The final hour of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great man Alonzo with you here on the show. Yes, indeed. Be a part of it. The renewal by Anderson to the Carolinas fan phone. Open for you right now, 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. Do want to remind you that coming up this Saturday, live at Furman Paladin Stadium, it is Furman Fan Fest. You are going to get your opportunity to see the team in action for the first time. Gates will open at noon. The team will take to the field for a scrimmage at 1 p.m. And after that scrimmage is concluded, you will get the opportunity to walk down to the field. You will get the opportunity to meet the players and the coaching staff in person. You will get your opportunity to go eyes on the 2024 Furman Paladin football team for the first time this Saturday at Paladin Stadium. It is Furman Fan Fest. Gates at noon, 1 o'clock scrimmage time. They will have the concession stands open so you can pick up that first college football glizzy of the season in person at Paladin Stadium. Or if you're one of those weirdos that's anti-glizzy for no good reasons at all, hamburgers and nachos and chips and whatever else you might want. But definitely a glizzy. Definitely that first football glizzy of the season at Furman Fan Fest this Saturday.
I think I'm going to talk to management and tell them how uncomfortable I am with that name and see if we can get it banned from the show.
I don't think you will or can, to be honest with you.
Don't say you don't think I will.
I don't think you know I will. I don't think you. I am willing to lay it down.
I'll go spend an hour down there.
The first actual fight, the actual legitimate fight between Rob and Lonzo will be Lonzo trying to get the word glizzy banned from the station. I shan't stand for it.
It's not becoming of a station of our stature to be using such a word. I mean, we're above that. We're smart. You're a science guy. You're a smart guy. You would think that you'd want to talk about something, you know, a little bit more smart.
You get glizzies banned, so help me. I will get video game talk banned from the non-sports video game talk banned from this show. Banned from this station. I will ban it from this show. I will, for the only time in the 4.5 years I've been here, I will go, Zoe, this is no longer allowed on the show. Not a word about video games that aren't Madden, 2K, or NBA. That's it. That's all that's allowed. Good luck.
I'm willing to sacrifice that so I don't have to hear that word ever again.
Anyway, Furman Fan Fest, go get your first football glizzy of the season. Gates at noon, scrimmage at 1. You are welcome down onto the field afterwards to meet the team and the coaching staff. There are going to be events. There are going to be games. It's going to be a fantastic freaking time at Paladin Stadium this Saturday because, ladies, gentlemen, it is football season.
By the way, a stream, he doesn't sound like Vince Russo because he didn't say bro.
Brother.
No, bro. If you're Vince Russo, you got to say bro a bunch.
Bro.
Yeah, there we go. Ooh, now he did sound like Vince Russo.
Bro. Keegan said glizzy isn't even that bad. What do you mean it's not bad? It's a common and popular and accepted term for hot dog.
It's not an accepted term.
And nothing else.
If you happen to meet Dan Scott, make sure you say that word to him and see what his reaction is.
We'll get Dan on. We'll ask him about that. Ask Dan Scott his favorite way to top a glizzy, and I bet you he's got an answer for you. Dan Scott, first off, that dude's 100% a relish guy. 100% a relish guy.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means he puts relish on his glizzy.
I mean,
it has no connotation.
How does that sound like a great phrase to say in polite society? I don't know. What has happened to this station?
Yes, that's what's brought down the station. The word glizzy.
This is not my fan anymore. Just not. That kind of humor is just unacceptable.
What humor? It's a glizzy, and I said Dan Scott, I suspect, is a relish on the glizzy guy. There's a lot of relish guys. Please. Somebody in the stream, who likes relish on the dog?
I shouldn't have brought his name up because now he's going to be mad if you associate that word with him. Because I've only heard the word used one time outside of this show, and I was completely shocked because I knew it wasn't a common word.
But it is, though. It's a glizzy. Deranged Behemoth with absolutely maybe the most appropriate subtitle for this show ever, Always Sunny in Greenville. That's a great reference and very on brand, very accurate.
Lonzo don't get it.
I would tell you to watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
No, I have. I just don't think it's funny.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just not very funny.
On the other hand, think Always Sunny in Philadelphia might be the funniest show that's ever been placed on television.
I mean, it's the first time anyone's ever made Danny DeVito not funny, which is weird. I didn't know that was possible.
Frank is hilarious.
It was a horrible show.
Frank is hilarious.
So glad it got canceled.
Always canceled. They're still making episodes. No, what are you talking about?
It got canceled
it did not.
When's the last time you watched it?
Literally on Hulu like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, an old one?
Yes, because I go back and rewatch because it's that funny.
You have to go back and rewatch because it's been canceled.
You're just saying not true things. Why are you doing this? Amazon guy says Chow Chow on the glizzy day.
Oh, no. Chow Chow. You know I sold on Chow Chow? Oh, you got to put Chow Chow on, I think it was on Black Eyed Peas or something for New Year's because Chow Chow is one of those traditions. Chow Chow is not good. It's not. It's akin to grits and boiled peanuts. It's just like, ugh.
The fiance's stepdad is a big Chow Chow guy. And as many times as we have had dinner with them, and he's broken out the Chow Chow, because he'll go Chow Chow on just about everything, I have not tried Chow Chow yet. I'm gonna keep it a buck with you. I don't know what Chow Chow is. I know he's a huge fan. I know he puts it on everything. I don't know what Chow Chow is.
By the way. Oh, man.
That one stung a little bit.
Yeah, it's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's still going on about to film their 17th season.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I just said that.
And
you're over here making stuff up.
No, I wanted to confirm it for everyone out there.
Confirm it. You said it was canceled.
Yeah, but you
wanted
said
to confirm I was right?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to confirm. I wanted
about
to make
one
sure
of my favorite shows ever.
That was okay. All right, fine.
Thank you for confirming I was correct.
I confirmed you. I absolutely did.
You son of a biscuit. You son of a gun.
That was a great move by me.
You know what? Just for that, I'm using the next 4 minutes of the segment to talk soccer. There is...
Once you swum all the way up to the field and...
Swam was correct. All right? I was correct. Mauricio Pochettino is right now suspected.
Who?
Mauricio Pochettino.
By the way, skyline chili is nasty.
Yes, that is the one food take Zoe and I agree on. He is wrong about everything else. Skyline chili's gross and it needs to not be a thing. You know why you got to dump 97 pounds of shredded cheddar cheese on top of Skyline chili so that you don't taste Skyline chili? That's why. Stop with the Skyline chili, Cincinnati.
All right, Mauricio, whatever.
Mauricio Pochettino has been in charge of some of the biggest programs in the world. He was the manager at Paris Saint-Germain, Bordeaux, Espanyol. He has got limited experience when it comes to international experience. That is predominantly as a player, where he played for Argentina's international team from 1999 until 2002. 3 years, 20 caps as the manager. After that, got into managing, went back, managed his old club at Espanyol, spent a season with Southampton, spent 5 years with Tottenham Hotspur, spent one season with Paris Saint-Germain, and then took over at Chelsea. This is a guy who has worked with and for some of the biggest soccer organizations on the face of the planet. And as of now, he is expected to be, or expected as, the primary target in the coaching search to be the next manager of the United States men's national team. It's an interesting decision, and I'll allow former USMNT player Hercules Gomez to explain why. So that's Hercules Gomez on his take of Mauricio Pochettino being the top name in the quest for the U.S. men's national soccer team as we tick ever closer to the World Cup coming up in just a couple of years, of course, hosted by these great United States of America, a World Cup that will maybe, not definitively, but maybe be the last one that the U.S. hosts in my lifetime. We, of course, hosted our last in the 90s. We will host in 2026. And if it is another 32 years before we host another one, that would make me 72 the next time that it rolls around. Ain't no guarantee I'm making it there. So,
is there a stipulation in there that you got to be good in order to host?
No, there is not. You've got to be rich in order to host.
Ah, okay.
Yes. Yes. That is why we played the last one in Qatar, a country that has exactly and precisely zero soccer prestige. You know what they do have? Mucho dinero. Tons of moolah. They were able to pay FIFA. I mean, extol the virtues of Qatar to FIFA to talk them into coming there. But forget all that. I got plenty of time to go into the disgusting politics of FIFA between here and 2026. I do care about winning. I do care about being good. I do care about not embarrassing ourselves when we host the World Cup. And more importantly than that, taking advantage of and performing in what is likely the last World Cup that will be hosted by the United States, maybe in my lifetime, certainly in my utes, all right? Because I'm still a ute. I feel like a ute.
Until, like, February?
Yeah, then I'll be 40. I won't be a ute no more. As my mother said just a minute ago when she texted me and said I shouldn't say glizzy because I'm, quote, not young anymore. Thanks, Mom. Heart you, too.
Yeah, there should be an jerk age limit on that word. So I'm glad your mom agrees with me.
I'm going to Costco to get a glizzy after this.
No, you're not.
I am. So, I want to be good. Here's the thing that I think American soccer fans are going to have to balance in their noggin. On one hand, yes, we want a Pep. We want one of the biggest names in coaching. And theoretically, you'd go, okay, not only have you already qualified for the World Cup, but you are hosting it, and you have arguably the greatest generation of talent that this country has ever had. But I have to temper the expectations of my fellow United States men's soccer team fans because there are two other major problems that we have to deal with. Number one, the USSF, the U.S. Soccer Federation, the group that is still in charge of the U.S. men's national team, they still stink, okay? They still stink. You still got to go through them, and I'm sure at this point with what's happened with Berhalter and Klinsmann and all these other managers that have come through, I'm sure there's some horror stories that make the biggest name coaches on planet Earth go, yeah, maybe not, maybe not. And there's the second thing we have to worry about. We're not that good, and even with the talent that we have, there's no guarantee that we will be. A guy like a Pep Guardiola, they're going to be able to take over any job they want when it comes open. Any international job that opens, they'll be in the running for. That includes the biggest countries in the world when it comes to footy. So just because we want those guys doesn't mean that they want us. Nothing more painful than wanting someone you can't have because they don't want you back. Am I right? So, yeah, I want a big name. I'm going to tell you right now, if Mauricio Pochettino is interested, that's the hire you have to make. Because I don't think you can get a bigger name than Mauricio Pochettino. That's the move you've got to go with. Will they? Can they? Will he even say yes? IDK. U.S. soccer better do everything in their damn power to make it happen. Because you can't aim higher than that, unfortunately. That's the reality we have to recognize.
You sound like Santino Marella.
Mauricio Pochettino. When we come back, got a few more things I want to run through, including what Chow Chow is. On the Rob Brown Show with the Fan Upstate. Chow Chow is a pickled relish eaten by itself or as a condiment on fish cakes, mashed potatoes, biscuits and gravy, pinto beans, hot dogs, hamburgers, or other foods made primarily of chopped green tomatoes, onions, cabbage, and seasonal peppers, though carrots, cauliflower, beans, and peas are sometimes included. Southern food historian John Egerton cited a connection to relish recipes of Chinese rail workers in the 19th century. It is considered a summer condiment in the South.
It looks like a pig threw up, man. It just does. I mean, it does.
I will say it does have a particular look to it. According to Wikipedia, its ingredients vary considerably depending on whether it is the northern, primarily Pennsylvanian edition, or southern variety, as well as separate Canadian variety prevalent in the Maritimes where it is called chow. The former is made from a combination of veggies, mainly green and red tomatoes, onions, carrots, beans of various types, asparagus, cauliflower, and peas. The latter is entirely or almost entirely green tomatoes or cabbage. These ingredients are pickled in a canning jar. After preserving, chow chow is served cold, often as a condiment or relish.
So this to me is people were canning food, they had extra stuff, and they just threw it all in a cannon and gave it a name.
I mean,
because you don't want to waste food back then when it was probably invented. So you're trying to keep as much food as you can.
For sure. Back in the you have to can your own food days.
Yeah. So that's probably where that came from. I don't think someone said, hey, you know what? Let's put some of that in there. You know what? Let's try to put that in there. I just, no. It's just, like I said, I got talked into trying it one time, and it was, I opened it up, was like, oh, no. Have you smelled it? It's not.
I have. I told you. The fiance's stepfather.
And before you guys talk about my northern palate, my family is from Kentucky. So, I mean, and you may not think it's southern, but it's southern from Ohio, and it just didn't. They never
it's
ate anything
southern
like that.
From Ohio.
Yeah, I mean, the weirdest thing my family makes is chocolate gravy, and you guys would love it.
Texter said it's just a spicy relish, really. That's from Amazon guy.
I don't know.
I mean, that's what it sounds like.
No, the cabbage in it, and it just no.
I'm going to try it. You can get it in a little jar. I'm going to try it.
You can. Okay.
I'm going to try it.
You should come and open it up in here so they can smell it and be.
That's a good call. I should bring in a jar tomorrow. Maybe I'll bring in a jar tomorrow. See, here's my problem. I want to eat it on something. What do I bring in that I can eat it in the AM?
Daggum beans. I get you some beans.
I don't really want it on beans.
Got to put it on beans.
I kind of think I want to put it on a glizzy. Just to start her off. I think I want to go chow chow on the glizzy.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll see. I might try it out.
You know what? If it smells really bad in here, we can spray our Will Levis cologne, and it will get rid of that smell.
Will Levis number
eight. By the
eight,
way, we talked about that, and it blew up everywhere.
I knew that was going to happen because it's incredible. Even if it is a cologne that smells like the second place mayo.
I mentioned it to Cole yesterday, and he's like, what are you talking about? And I sent him a story. He's like, dude, you probably should talk about this because everyone's talking about it.
Parfum de mayo. I love it. I'm a big Will Levis guy now. All right. Even if he used a second place mayo to make the cologne, Parfum de Mayo.
Not a second place mayo. Probably now the number one mayonnaise in the world because of Will Levis. Way to go, Will.
It's a hell of a sponsorship idea. It is 100%. Duke's Mayo Bowl Twitter was James just pointed it out. The Duke's Mayo Bowl Twitter was hilarious yesterday.
They feel slighted and trying to make themselves.
Oh, they popped off yesterday.
Did they?
Yeah, it was freaking hilarious.
Well, I think you got to go on the defense.
See if I can go find some of their tweets from yesterday when this came out, because they went right at it, man. They went right at it. First off, they tweeted a graphic of their own cologne called Mayo Bath by Duke's, which, yes, do that. I will be the sponsor of it. Number two, they put up the advertisement of it, and they sent a tweet with the Will Levis video, and the tweet simply says, 0-17. 0-17, man. You cologned with the wrong mayo. What a vibe from Dukes yesterday.
Okay, I don't get it. So
because Will Levis is sponsored by Hellman's. He's going 0-17 in NFL football, okay, where he is an NFL quarterback.
So I was actually thinking, because I don't think he went 0-17 last year.
Correct.
So
that's saying he's going to go 0-17 now that he got smoked.
Maybe they should have explained it better because, you know, I didn't get it.
All right. That it's as good as you could ask for, dude. It's as good as you could ask for. My man made a cologne inspired by mayo, and it was the talk of the country.
Who in the building would not wear it?
Everybody who takes themselves too seriously. Okay. Put on that list who you wish.
There's a few people, maybe across the hall, that wouldn't wear it, but I think people downstairs wouldn't wear it.
Correct.
Yeah, none of those guys will
wear it. The people downstairs don't have fun.
Oh, Kevin might wear it. Kevin might rock some number 8. You think so?
No, I think Kevin. I think even our boy Kevin. And by the way, the fellas from the Move in the Chain pod will begin rejoining the show next Friday. Might have him on. We can do a little preview this Friday.
Speaking of Moving the Chains, I think we both know someone who absolutely would.
Johnny Boy would do it.
That's right.
Johnny Boy would do it
without a doubt. So Kevin wouldn't throw on his cowboy hat and just get a couple of sprays.
Hey, baby.
Go do some boot scooting.
You would. I put on your favorite. I put on the Hellman's. You want to head on down to the honky tonk? That's incredible. I don't know why I'm making fun of it. Like, I'm not absolutely going to give it a shot. You know what we're going to do? I'm going to tell you one day I'm going to wear it, but I'm not going to tell the fiance I'm putting it on. And I'm just going to film the reaction. Hashtag content for the boys, for sure. Texas said, put your chow chow on a hot dog or burger. I think I want to do it on a burger, honestly. I think a burger would complement it well. I'll get some chow chow. We'll do a taste test at some point. All right, final segment of the Rob Brown Show next on the Fan Upstate. Now there's a battle breaking out betwixt the hot and cold chow chow people. I'm all in to try some chow chow. All right. In fact, I think I'm going to at dpatty1811 on Twitter said, if you put your chow chow on a burger, just put an egg on there and it's considered breakfast, so you can have it in the morning. Big fried egg on a burger guy. Okay. Big fried on a burger guy.
We had this discussion yesterday. I love fried egg on a burger, but what's it? So the chow chow makes it breakfast? No.
I'm saying I think if you put the egg on the burger, now it's a breakfast burger. Then bang, add some chow chow to it. You got a little green tomato up in there. You got all your major food groups right there. You got your grain. You got your meat. You got your veggies.
All right.
You got your dairy.
I'm a fan of all those things separate, but together put in that nasty water. It's gonna be
nasty what?
Water.
You okay over there?
Water.
Bless you.
You ain't heard people say water before?
Yes, I have.
Excuse me. Hey, baby, you go in there and get me a glass of water.
Too many R's, ma'am. Too many R's. All right. Let's get to...
That fella right there living in Washington.
Washington. There's actually a guy that I frequently interact with because he's part of the BetQL crew, which is based in Washington, who calls it Washington. And I'm like, you don't fit in there, do you?
Does he do it on purpose, though?
No, that's how he talks. I'm up here walking around Washington. Hey, the NFL's got new kickoff rules. We have now seen every team go through at least one game with the new kickoff rules. Some of it went very poorly, including for the Kansas City Chiefs and Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jags kicked the ball to the Chiefs after scoring a touchdown. The ball bounced just barely inside the end zone before rolling back into play after letting it hit the ground and come to a stop. Chiefs returner Mecole Hardman grabbed the ball and brought it back into the end zone to take a knee. Initially, the play was ruled a touchback by the officials, which based on old rules would have been the correct ruling. But under the NFL's new kickoff rules, which have transformed the play, that's no longer the case. So during a timeout, as officials were getting set, Jags coach Doug Peterson went running out to argue the call, and it turns out he was right. The play was overturned. The Jags were awarded the safety. It put him up 20-10 at the break. Peterson said, quote, the ball landed in the end zone, and now by rule is still a live ball. Last year, that would have been down. It would have been dead, and the ball comes out to what, the 25 or whatever it was last year. Now the ball's live, so the ball was in the end zone, came out about a half a yard line. The returner was in the end zone, but pulled the ball back into the end zone when he took a knee. So safety, that's the rule, and that is correct.
So it ended up being a safety.
It ended up being a safety.
I started watching that game a little bit this morning, so I'm going to have to get to that point. I want to see that.
It is when the Jags go up 18-10 and then kick off to the Chiefs, if you want to skip ahead to it.
I don't know why you emphasized the number, because you said preseason scores
don't matter.
No, I was
just giving you a spot where you can look for a thing in the game.
Well, I was going to watch the entire thing, but okay. All right, well, thank you for pinpointing when that happens.
You're very welcome. That's what I'm here for. It is gonna take some time. It is gonna take some time. Kyle Shanahan, after that happened, he got asked about it as we got set to move towards San Francisco 49er preseason game number two. On Saturday, the 49ers coverage unit surrendered a 63-yard return against the Tennessee Titans. 2 days later, Kyle Shanahan was asked about the possibility of kicking the ball as deep as possible and giving up the additional 5 yards to take no chances of long return. Shanahan said, quote, Monday, it's a hell of an idea. I haven't thought of that. Of course, the 49ers have likely thought about it. And of course, that appears to be the way the 49ers and many other teams will approach their kickoffs this year. So far in the 2024 NFL preseason, there have been 127 kickoffs. Of those, 104 have been returned. On a kickoff return, the average starting point was the 29-yard line. Should you kick the ball out of the end zone? Should you kick the ball out of the end zone at this point, the touchback would come out to the 30. And the average starting line is the 29. So I'm interested to see what, if any, adaptations the NFL is going to make. The thought would be you would want about a 5-yard buffer between the average return spot and the touchback spot of the 30. And you would want that so that there is a 5-yard gamble for kick returners to decide whether or not they want to bring a ball out of the touch zone or not. If you do, and the average return spot's the 25, and by the way, the 25 is where the old touchback came out to. Why? Because that was the average spot of a kickoff return. The average kickoff return came back out to the 25. And so the NFL moved the touchback spot from the 20 out to the 25, effectively to discourage kickoff returns. But the NFL now wants to encourage kickoff returns. That's why they've changed the rules. They have changed the rules so that they can encourage kickoff returns, but do so while also discouraging injuries on said returns. That's the reasoning. That's the thought here. So I do wonder if we might sometime down the line see the NFL decide to make yet another change to the rules. If we would be seeing the NFL say, all right, touchbacks are now going back to the 25-yard line. You know, we tried them at the 30, and it turns out that the average kickoff routine comes out to the 30. Do you move it back to the 25? Because if you want to encourage touchbacks, you move the touch back up to the 35 now. The problem is, for me, is there a spot where bringing the touchback out too far creates a world where you go, you know what? We won't return any kickoffs for touchdowns, but let's be honest, how many times does any team do that in the season? Like, if you've got a great kickoff return man, he might bring like 2 kicks back in a season, right? 3 would make him Hall of Fame caliber. So if that's the case, is bringing it out to the 35, because what's the other thing that the NFL wants to create? Long drives, exciting drives, energetic drives. If you bring the touchback out to the 35 and you make it where a team's only got to go 65 yards for a drive, does that discourage more offense? I mean, it certainly would. You would get likely fewer kickoff returns and more offensive snaps. But a team at a 35 can likely be a little bit more adventurous in the way that they return kickoffs, a way that they run an offense on their first snap than a team that's backed up to the 30 and certainly more than a team that is 10 yards back at the 25. But if the NFL is indeed trying to encourage more kickoff returns in a safer way, which is at their core what this new kickoff rule or set of rules is encouraging, if you are trying to encourage more kickoff returns, then you should move the touchback spot to behind the average kickoff return space. That would be the 25-yard line. If you move it back, then all of a sudden, if you're a kick returner and you go, if I just have an average return, if I have just an average return, my average return is 4 yards better, maybe a full 5 yards better than the touchback spot. So now all of a sudden, I would have coaches encouraging returns. Because more often than not, they're actually going to be a positive gain on what the touchback would ultimately be. So why would the NFL not just have made these sorts of decisions before putting the rule into play when they've had the opportunity to see what these kickoffs look like courtesy of the USFL? The answer is because we know what the kickoff returns look like in the USFL. Players in the USFL ain't NFL players. There's a different set of physical capabilities at the hands of the players at the NFL level than there are at the hands of the players at the USFL level. So what I'm saying ultimately is this is going to be an experimental process. This is going to be a process that the NFL is going to feel out. Kyle Shanahan just had it pointed. Do I believe that this is a novel concept that Kyle Shanahan hadn't sat down with a group of big smart dudes with calculators in the San Francisco offices and had them go, okay, coach, the average return's the 29, the touchback zone is the 30, and if you kick touchbacks through the back of the end zone, then, not only will they never be able to return them for a touchdown, but you're only surrendering 1 yard on average to prevent that. I will tell you right now, I am not a head coach. I did not stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night, but I do know ball. If you asked me to give you 1 yard per kick, 1 yard, and you are telling me that in return for 1 yard, I would not have anybody ever return a kickoff for a touchdown against me. Yeah, I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is. I'm taking that deal. I will give you 1 yard for every kickoff that we kick this year in return for never having a special teams unit run one back on me. Yeah, that's an obvious deal. So my thought would be here that if the NFL does want to encourage kickoff returns, I would bet next year we see the kickoff move back to the 25-yard line. If the NFL is looking to discourage kickoff returns, if they, even with the new rules, do indeed want to have fewer kickoff returns and make sure that kickoff returns are only attempted when a team is desperate, then yeah, move it out to the 35. Move it out to the 35, let it be at the 35, and let a team, the offensive team or the defensive team, decide if that 5 yards on average different between the touchback and the kickoff is worth the crack at it. Make them decide. Because right now as it stands, I think the advantage is kicking team. I think you are going to see, probably starting this weekend, though Maybe not, because, you know, you want the XP for your special teams as much as you do for your offense and your defense. But you also want it for your kicker and your kick return. I think you will see a lot of teams starting to try to drill it through the back of the end zone with their kicker and being more than willing to suspend.
That's why it's going to be a fun year. All right, the first thing that's Xing is Halle Berry.
Halle Berry is Xing because it is her birthday, and she is 61 years old today.
She's not that old.
56.
58.
58. I wasn't too far off.
Wow. Does she look 58?
I am just but she's a celebrity. They have advantages. I am simply going to say, when it comes to Halle Berry, Swordfish. And I will leave it at that.
I didn't see it, but my understanding is that wasn't her. That it was a body double. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Steve Martin.
Why would you take that away from me?
I don't know. I was assuming that's what you were talking about.
So. Lonzo, destroyer of dreams and love.
Phoebe Cates back in the day, that was a body double also from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Steve Martin's birthday today. And Steve Martin is 81.
79.
Duh.
Yeah, so not bad. All right, the next thing that's Xing is...
Steve Martin's awesome, by the way.
He is.
That dude is freaking
hilarious. And he can play the banjo.
I was born a poor black child. Has got to be one of the most iconic openings to a movie in history.
Madden 25 is the next thing that's Xing.
So Madden 25, I think it's been out for a while. I don't think this is a drop release.
I thought it dropped yesterday.
Maybe it has been. I know I've seen the ads for it in the local gaming community for a while now. Here's what I will say. I appreciate EA Sports bringing back College Football 2025. I look forward to the day that I am married and I can go back to making poor financial decisions so that I can buy the console and jump in with the rest of you. But what I will say is, as much as I appreciate them bringing back College Football 2025, they've done nothing with Madden for a very long time. Like, it's just been a reskin of the same game over and over.
Which is exactly what college football is going to be year to year. Madden 25, though, you can play in Game Pass.
Sure, but
so you don't even have to pay for it.
We haven't had college football in so long. I am willing to put up with a year or two before I start going, oh, you're just making the same game over and over. What I will say about Madden is that I am begging EA Sports to release my EA Sports account so that I can play Madden again. Hashtag free Rob Brown.
Wow. Like, change your Xbox name. And
I did. That doesn't do it.
Okay. All right.
That doesn't solve it.
All right.
I wrote them. I said, hey, I'm locked out of my EA account. I was writing them because I wanted to play the Star Wars games. And they wrote back and said, it's actually connected to your console. And I said, well, can I delete all of my EA Sports data and just make a new account? I don't care about saving what's on here. Can I make a new account? And they said, no, it is linked to your console. The only way to get a new EA account is to get a new console, which means I can't play Madden or any of the Star Wars games until I start making financially irresponsible decisions and buy a new console.
Stay away from glizzies, you know, and you could probably buy one.
It ain't the $1.50 glizzies that are the problem.
All right, last thing that is Xing is Joe Hendry.
Joe Hendry is, of course, Xing as he is every day because we all believe.
We do.
We do. We also believe that this show is over. I'm getting my motorcycle fixed today. That's really exciting. Just in time to start riding for the fall because it's football season. And week zero is almost upon us. A week zero that we collectively, as the Rob Brown Show, are all very excited about. Very excited about. A 12 out of 10 excitement rating. See you guys back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later.